The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 27, verses 3-8. Please turn to page 234 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra and Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lacy. Amen. Paul, who appealed to the emperor as a Roman citizen, finally set off to Rome, where he was to devote his rest of the days. Any Roman citizen who has made an appeal to the emperor was to be protected by the Roman Empire before he or she stood before the imperial court. And so Governor Festus handed Paul and some of the prisoners to a centurion named Julius. Centurion Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment, which was under direct command of the emperor himself, was chosen to be in charge of transporting Paul and other prisoners to Rome. But like we have went over last time, if we are to read this passage with the eye that sees the invisible providence of God that is beyond the visible reality, the passage becomes a whole new different story. It was God that put Paul in charge of Centurion Julius, his men, and other prisoners whom God had decided to save. God had entrusted their souls, their lives, in the hands of Paul. Paul and the others boarded on a ship from Adramidium, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, because there weren't any ships from Caesarea that sailed directly to Rome. It was a merchant vessel that sailed to ports on the coast of today's Lebanon, Syria, and Turkey. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. The ship from Adramidium that started off from Caesarea stopped at the port of Sidon, which was 107 kilometers up north from Caesarea, the day after. Sidon is today's port city of Saida in Lebanon. The reason why the merchant vessel from Adramidium landed in Sidon was to unload cargoes. At the time, it usually took several days for a merchant vessel to load and unload cargoes at a port. Centurion Julius did not make Paul just wait inside the ship until the cargoes were fully unloaded. Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. He was kind enough to let Paul be treated by Christians in Sidon. The Greek noun, epimeleia, which was translated as in kindness to, means to take care of, rather than just treating food. Julius, the centurion, had kindly let Paul, who had spent 2 years in prison, to be taken care of by the Christians in Sidon. It probably wasn't just because Paul was a Roman citizen that Julius did what he did. To Julius, who was responsible of transporting Paul, that made an appeal to the emperor, Paul may have been a bothersome being in the first place. And yet, the reason why Julius was so kind to Paul was probably because he was touched by Paul's personality while sailing for a full day from Caesarea to Sidon together. Paul had been traveling around in the Mediterranean world 3 times, but he had never been to Sidon. But the Christians in Sidon took care of Paul, whom they had never met before, when they heard that Paul had stopped in Sidon for a while. Happiness cannot be defined with materials. Neither can wealth be defined by having lots of money or not. Such happiness and wealth will soon be shattered once materials and money disappear. Paul himself had nothing. Paul was someone far from the material and wealth of the world. But Julius was touched by him just within a day, and Christians in Sidon, whom he had never met before, gladly took care of Paul. This makes him a true happy, wealthy man. Paul and his companion's sail went on as follows. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra and Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. The final destination of the ship from Adramidium, which set off to sail again after finishing up unloading cargo in Sidon, was Myra and Lycia, where Paul's company can board onto a ship that is headed to Italy. Myra is a port situated in the southwest of today's Turkey. Adramidium was a merchant vessel that sailed across the coast of today's Lebanon, Syria, and Turkey. So the usual sea routes for the ship from Adramidium that sailed off from Sidon was to go north, following along the ports of Lebanon and Syria, and then go southwest, following along the coast of Turkey, passing the ports of Cilicia and Pamphylia, and then to Myra. But the ship from Adramidium that was going up north towards Turkey could not fight against the wind from north, so had no choice but to get off from the usual route and passed to the lee of Cyprus, which was about 100 kilometers down south of Turkey. They arrived at Myra, sailing across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, using Cyprus to hide from the winds. Today's passage is not a navigation log of a sailor. The book of Acts, which Luke had recorded, are God's words. It means that there is no word or expression that is without meaning. In fact, the book of Acts is also called the book of Holy Spirit. It is because it shows very precisely of how the Holy Spirit works in human lives. So to comprehend this with the eyes that see the invisible providence of God that is beyond the visible reality, we can learn that today's passage is also an amazing message from God. If the ship from Adramidium that started off from Sidon did not meet the strong wind, this trading ship that travels across Lebanon, Syria, and Turkey wouldn't have had to sail all the way to Cyprus and travel along its coast. But God used the strong north wind and changed the course of the ship from Adramidium, on which Paul was sailing on, and made it head toward Cyprus. The length of Cyprus, stretching out diagonally from northeast to the west side, is around 200 kilometers. It caught the eyes of Paul on the ship, heading towards Rome to spend his last of days. And this was God's special providence for Paul. Cyprus was an island that had an absolute meaning in Paul's life. The first destination of evangelism trip, which Paul and Barnabas of the Church of Antioch set off for on their first evangelism trip in the Mediterranean world, following the Lord's orders, was the very Cyprus. And in that very Cyprus, as we all know very well, two most significant events in Paul's life had happened. First was that his name was changed. Paul, whose original name was Saul, belonged to the Benjaminite, which King Saul, the first king of Israel, belonged to. Paul's father named his son Saul in hopes that he would become a great man like King Saul. The fact that young Paul was in front of to trample down on churches in order to succeed in the Jewish society was indeed related to his original name, Saul. But his name was changed to Paul in Cyprus, the first destination of evangelism. His name, Paul, which means small, derived from a Greek verb, pao, which means to stop or give up. Paul, who was still called Saul even after being called upon by the Lord, completely cut out his thoughts and minds of considering himself big and great in Cyprus, his first destination of evangelism. It was grateful enough that the Lord saved him who denied Jesus and trampled down the churches. But God also used him as God's instrument. And it was before God's such grace that Paul became extremely small, a small being who cannot strive through, not even for a moment, without God's grace. The second event that happened to Paul in Cyprus, his first destination of evangelism, was that he became the head of the evangelism team. When the evangelism trip began, Barnabas, the head pastor of the Church of Antioch, served as leader of the group. The ministry in evangelism was different. The Lord has officially set Paul, the leader of the evangelism team, the Lord had decided was Paul. The Lord has officially set Paul in the forefront of the stage of history, whom he had called upon as the Supertus and Martus. And since then, Paul was ever faithful to his identity as the Lord's Supertus a Martus. The reason why Paul never gave up on his evangelism journey, even after falling sick with an endemic disease in Perga, his next destination after Cyprus, and instead traveled all the way to Pisidian Antioch, after climbing the steep Taurus Mountains, was to be faithful to his callings as the Lord's Huperitus and Martus under any circumstances. And since then, Paul never forgot about his extreme smallness of his true being before God and his identity as the Lord's Huperitus and Martus as he continued his evangelism trips three times across the Mediterranean world. The two events that happened in his first evangelism destination, Cyprus, had crucial effect on Paul's life. It was about 13 years after Paul visited Cyprus as his first destination of his first evangelical trip. After concluding three evangelical trips, Paul sailed for today's Tyre in Lebanon on a ship to Patara, southwest of Turkey, in order to visit Jerusalem for one last time. Acts chapter 21, verse 3, that we have already looked into, tells us that after sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, they sailed on to Syria. The Greek verb anapaino, which is translated as sighting, originally means to appear. Cyprus unexpectedly appeared before the ship that Paul was sailing on. And the south coast of Cyprus, which is about 200 kilometers long, came visible on the left side of the ship. Ships at the time could sail 100 kilometers per day on average under normal natural conditions. 200 kilometers long Cyprus lay diagonally from northeast to the west. So Paul must have been able to see Cyprus at least more than a day on the ship that sailed 100 kilometers per day. Many islands must have come to sight and then disappeared before the ship that Paul was on, before Paul's ship passed Cyprus. But the book of Acts does not list them one by one. So why else would have Luke, who has written the book of Acts, kept mentioning only Cyprus and emphasized that the island was visible from the ship several times? It was to tell us that it was God that led Paul's trip, who has concluded his three evangelical trips. If Paul chose to travel on road, or rode on a ship that just sails along the coastline of Turkey, then Cyprus would not have come into Paul's sight at all. Cyprus, the first destination for his first evangelical trip, came into Paul's sight, who had just finished his 13 years of three evangelical trips in the Mediterranean world. Paul came back to his starting point after 13 years. It was a starting point where Saul, who sought after the world's vanity and pretension, was born again as an extremely small Paul, who could not live without the grace of the Lord. And when the Lord's Hupertus and Martus was placed at the forefront of the stage of history. For the past 13 years, Paul had visited 57 cities altogether through his three evangelical trips. And the distance that he traveled was over 13,000 kilometers. As a result, so many people from so many cities were able to receive gospel. And then, so many churches have been founded. But looking back on everything in Cyprus, the starting point that he came back after 13 years, they weren't Paul's achievements at all. He was still the same small Paul who could not live without the Lord's grace. The only thing he had done was to obey to the Lord's guidance as the Lord's Hupertus Amardus. That was when the Lord himself achieved everything through Paul. And that is why Paul pushed ahead to Jerusalem, shaking off the tears of his companions, begging him to stay away from that path, even if he knew that his trip to Jerusalem had nothing but binding on hardships only. It was because Paul believed that as long as he obeyed to the Lord's guidance, the Lord will achieve his providence in Jerusalem through Paul, as always. The cypress that came to the side of Paul after 13 years of Paul's 3 evangelical trips was the encouragement from the Lord to Paul, his touch that pushed Paul, so to speak, so that he may travel confidently to Jerusalem, where hardship and binding was waiting for him. And 2 years later from since, in today's passage, Cyprus revealed itself once again for the third and the last time before Paul's eyes, who was on his way to Rome to devote his last days. This was a result of the ship of Adramidium sailing off of the usual route and passed to the lee of Cyprus in order to avoid the wind that was against them. Unlike 2 years ago, sailing eastward towards the southern coast of Cyprus, this time the ship that Paul was sailing on moved westward towards the northern coast of Cyprus. If you move westward along the northern coast, you can see the starting line and the ending line of the 200-kilometer-long coast due to the geographical shape of the Cyprus island. Now, I have told you that the ships at the time could sail 100 kilometers per day under normal natural conditions. But it would have been hard for the ship from Adramidium, which Paul was sailing on, to sail 100 kilometers that day when north wind was raging, like in today's passage. So Paul must have been watching Cyprus for at least 2 days or more. This was also the mysterious providence of the Lord for Paul. Rome, where Paul is headed to right now, was the only place where he wrote to the local Christians before he visited the location. That was the epistle to the Romans that he wrote to the Christians in Rome from Corinth during his third evangelical trip. Other epistles written by Paul, like the 1st and 2nd Corinthians or the Galatians, were letters that Paul wrote to suggest solutions to some of the problems that local Christians were facing, who received gospel from Paul when he was visiting the area. Paul had already preached about the gospel in words, so he did not need to repeat the gospel in the letters all over again. But because Paul did not have the chance to preach about gospel in words to the Christians in Rome, he explained about the gospel in writings in his epistles to the Romans. Here lies the reasons why the Romans is called the best masterpiece among Paul's letters, the essence of gospel. How touched the Roman Christians must have been when they were able to realize the grace of gospel through the epistles of the Romans. Wouldn't they have respected Paul so greatly if Paul, the author of the Romans himself, appeared in Rome. Moreover, Paul was heading for Rome under the guard of Centurion Julius and his men, who belonged to the imperial regiment, as a Roman citizen who made an appeal to the emperor. How many people in this world could possibly receive such guard? When the ship from Adramidium stopped in Sidon, the local Christians who never met him before took good care of him for days. Regardless of Paul's intentions or thoughts, Paul was like a hero to the Christians throughout the Mediterranean world. Furthermore, Paul was already in his later stage of his life. What people who are in their old years should be careful of is to not fall into their self-arrogance. For example, Paul at the time was surrounded by conditions that could easily make him fall into the traps of self-arrogance. The Lord provided for Paul so that the ship that he was riding on would have no choice but to sail along the coastline of Cyprus, Paul's starting point. It was to newly remind Paul of his original resolutions. It was to remind of his original resolution in which Saul, who aimed to make his name known in the world, died and was reborn as the extremely small Paul before the Lord. The resolution to obey the guidance of the Lord as his Hupertus and Martus. Did not Paul say, "I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus for our Lord"? The ship from Adramidium, which Paul was sailing on, was moving westward along the northern coastline of Cyprus. And while doing so, Paul looked over to the Cyprus island for at least 2 days or more and killed himself that tried to fall into the traps of self-arrogance and reminded himself of his original resolution as the Lord's Hupertus Martus, who died for him and lived again. As a result, he endured to be beheaded for the sake of the Lord who died for him and lived again 3 days later. And he himself also came back to life again as the eternal apostle beyond time and space. Do we each all have our own Cyprus, our starting points in spirit? How long has it been for us since we have accepted the Lord? Are we the small Paul who cannot live without Lord's grace? Or are we Saul who think ourselves bigger than the Lord? Are we following after the guidance of the Lord as the Lord's Hypatia Martis? Or are we seeking after vain desires? Let us look back to the things that we have learned about from the New Believers class upon celebrating the Passion Sunday. Why was the Lord's head? Why did Jesus have to bleed from the thorn crowns? Was it not to pay for our sins? Why did he have to bleed crucified on the cross? Was it not to pay for our sins that we have made with our hands? Why did Jesus have to die? Blood all over him. Was it not to save us? With his precious blood. Do we not accept the Lord as the Lord of life because we believe in this? Was this not our original resolution? Then let us go back to Cyprus, our starting points. In our hearts. Let us look back to ourselves in Cyprus and crucify ourselves who live as Sauls, who think grander than God himself. Crucify ourselves who live as slaves of vain desires, instead of being Lord's Hypatia Martis, and let us remind ourselves of our original resolutions, not just once, but let us look to our Cyprus, the starting points of our spirits, and remind ourselves of our resolutions over and over again. Let us pray. Father God, you have made Paul, who was in his later years, remind himself of his original resolution in Cyprus, his starting point, so that he may not fall into the traps of self-arrogance, and made him your eternal apostle. And we also thank you on this Passion Sunday for allowing us to stand before our own Cyprus and our souls. Please forgive us of our spiritual insensitiveness and ignorance, for completely forgetting of our original resolutions, the inspiration we felt, and the determinations we made at the time when we were granted the grace of salvation from the Lord. Let us stand before our own Cyprus and our souls every day from now on, upon celebrating the Passion Sunday, on which we commemorate the death of Jesus who died to save us. Let us crucify our own selves, living like Saul, who considered himself grander than God. Let us crucify our own selves, living as slaves to the vain desires. Let us crucify our own selves, fallen in self-arrogance. And then remind ourselves over and over again of the original resolution of the small Paul, who lived solely by the grace of the Lord, and the original resolution of the Lord's Hypatia Martis, that only follow after the Lord's guidance, looking towards Cyprus. And thus, let the path that we, the people who do not forget of our original resolutions, walk upon the solid path toward the Lord's resurrection who lived again in 3 days. No matter how strong a storm rages up on it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.